Good morning, everyone, and happy Father's Day. I will be reading from Exodus chapter 1, verses 15 through 21, and I will be reading from the New International Version. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, whose names were Shipra and Puah, when you help the Hebrew women in childbirth and observe them on the delivery stool, if it is a boy, kill him. But if it is a girl, let her live. The midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live. The midwives, however, feared God and did not do to what the king had told them to do. And the boys lived. Then the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and asked them, why have you done this? Why have you let the boys live? The midwives answered Pharaoh, Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They are vigorous and give birth before the midwives arrive. So God was kind to the midwives, and the people increased and became even more numerous. And because the midwives feared God, He gave them families of their own. Amen.
Morning again. Thank you, Susan, for that reading of scripture. And as we enter into this time of reflecting on the midwives, Shipra and Puah, we are of course, in our Unsung Heroes series and remembering those people in scripture that may not have gotten the acclaim or the attention that they deserve. And so we focus this morning on the midwives. And as we do that, I want to invite you to pray with me. God, we give you thanks for this opportunity to be together, to come around your word, to gather even virtually in a time of worship. We pray that your spirit would be with us, that it would fill the words that are spoken, that it would open our hearts and minds, that we would be moved and shaped in the likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Both our kids were born with the assistance of midwives. When Noah was born, I had a very specific plan for how I was going to participate in the process, given that I'm a little squeamish. And it was the midwife who guided the entire process. The doctor was there in the room, but in case of an emergency, but mostly the doctor stood in the corner, and it was the midwife who attended to Katie, who assured us, who guided us, who answered our questions. She took control of the process. And when the time came, the midwife looked at me and told me what my job was. And it was not the job that I had imagined for myself. But what was I going to say in that moment except to do what she was asking me to do? She was inviting me, actually, to be part of bringing life into the world and to bring life into the world that would change mine forever and for the better. This is what midwives do. They accompany life as it enters the world in all of its vulnerability, in all of its precariousness, using their particular gift to be in tune with this process. Moses is really the leader of this archetypal story of liberation that plays out in our scripture. Moses confronts power in Pharaoh. Moses demands the people's freedom. His leadership of the people in faithfulness and resilience and endurance, as they seek the promises of God. This is the story that is the pattern for lots of other biblical stories, this ability for God to look upon God's people who are not free to live the lives that God desires for them and to raise up human beings who can be partners together in movements for liberation. And that pattern plays out over and over in our scripture. In fact, there are parallels between the story of Moses and Moses leading the people out of slavery toward the promised land and Jesus, who is leading the world out of sin and death toward the freedom of eternal life. And throughout history, the themes of liberation that are present in this story, the demand for freedom, the active resistance to oppression and the desire to see God, the desire of God to see the heavy weight of violence and subjugation lifted from the lives of God's people. That story has animated other stories. That story has given inspiration and given shape and meaning to other movements for liberation. The story of God is the story of people being liberated from that which keeps them from living into the full expression of what God desires for all creation. Whether those things come from within ourselves, from within our own hearts and minds, or whether those things come from outside of us, outside forces of violence and hatred, God wants to see us freed from those things. And Moses is a central figure in that story, an example of how God raises up voices from within the people to confront and subvert forces that oppress God's people. But there would be no Moses without Shipra and Puah, the Hebrew midwives, who really you could say were the beginning of this movement, who began the movement with one of the earliest acts of civil disobedience. They are given a directive from the state and who holds power in the state, and they are quick to disobey that directive that they see is unjust. The king is using death to preserve power. The king is afraid that if the Israelites become too numerous, if they grow and they begin to thrive, then they will no longer tolerate their subjugation and their enslavement. And they've already surprised him because enslavement itself has not been enough to break their spirits. They have managed to be resilient and to find life and to begin to grow even as they are enslaved. It's not been enough to keep their numbers from growing. And so his plan is to resort to genocide, to the systematic extinguishing of life. But the midwives will not have it. They insist that the lives of the black boys that they are bringing into the world matter and that they are sacred in the sight of God. Scripture says that the midwives feared God, which also means that they obeyed God's ethical imperatives. And there is so much beauty here in this moment and in the lives of Shipra and Puah. Because these women, they may be enslaved and they may be under the thumb of one who is wielding power over them, but their belief in God's vision for creation cannot be bound. This is what all pharaohs think. They think that God's desire planted in human hearts, when the people, even if the people catch a vision of what God desires for all of creation, that they can obstruct that they can delay that until it is no longer inevitable. But that is just not the case. When the desires of God are planted in human hearts, it is inevitable. It will always rise. And these women know that. And so they resist and they persist in bringing life into the world. And they do it by using the king's own prejudice against him. They're playing into the subhuman stereotypes that he has about Hebrew people, that they're not as fair and sensitive as the Egyptian women. And so in the end, it's a racial stereotype that brings about a violent policy. And that racial stereotype becomes a tool for undercutting that same policy. God is something else. Shipra and Puah are something else. It is a beautiful turn in this story. Behind every Moses, there is a Shipra and a Puah. Behind every movement for justice, there are midwives who want to see it born into the world. Reverend Dr. William Barber, co-chair of the Poor People's Campaign, a national call for moral revival. I know a lot of you were tuned in yesterday to the People's Assembly and March on Washington that happened virtually and have been familiar with Reverend Barber's voice because I've shared it a lot and because he's risen to notoriety and prominence in our country. But he writes about his mother this way as a midwife for justice. Before he was ever William Barber, his mother, Eleanor, took a job as the secretary to the principal in the all-black segregated school where Reverend Barber attended kindergarten. And when the schools finally integrated, she became the secretary of what had formerly been the all-white high school. And she retired not that long ago after 53 years in the school system. And when she did, she said when she began, some people called her the N-word. But now their children's children call her Mother Barber. And so he says there's no way, Reverend Barber says, there's no way to talk about Jesus or to talk about John the Baptist without lifting up Mary and Elizabeth. He says there's no way to talk about Harriet Tubman, the Moses of the Underground Railroad, without the countless other women who escaped with her and helped her hide and plan. He says there's no way to talk about Sojourner Truth, who told the story of her strength and resilience at the 1851 Women's Rights Convention in Ohio and asked, "Ain't I a woman?" as she demanded her rights, without also remembering the women on the floor who gathered with her and voted with her. And there's no way to talk about Rosa Parks without also mentioning the women that she risked her life to interview in the 1940s with the NAACP. So the movements for freedom and justice that we see born in the midst of a world that is wrecked with violence and hatred, they always have a midwife who guides their entrance into the world. Alicia Garza, Opal Tometi, Patrice Cullors. These are the midwives of the Black Lives Matter movement. Maybe you didn't know their names, and maybe they prefer it that way, but they are modern day Shipras and Puas. And in the end, that encounter with the midwife during Noah's birth, I was happy that she brought me into that process, even though it wasn't my plan per se. Because what she did was she made me a partner in bringing life into the world. And she called me to something that I did not realize I was capable of. And that is what the midwives of justice around do for us. When we hear their voices, when we hear their cries for justice, when we see the movement beginning, there is an invitation for us to join and be part of the work of liberation that God is doing in the world. It's the same thing that Jesus does when he calls disciples around him. He calls disciples around him, and he is inviting us to be partners with him in remaking the world and tearing down systems of oppression and violence that keep God's people from living into the freedom that God desires for them. And so as we hear and we see this moment when there are our midwives that are inviting us to be part of this process, to be part of to calling us to rise to places that we might not have ever seen ourselves comfortable with or capable of. We are being invited to be part of what God is birthing in the world, and our choice is just to lean in and to say yes. And to be partners with God in bringing new life into the world. Amen.